The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Jesus Christ, or they're just going to show up and be with you, not saying anything, because that's what you need right there is in that moment is a tangible expression of the mercy and faithfulness of God. So yes, it's a lunch, and yes, I'm looking forward to everything that goes with that, but it's also more than that. In the video that we just showed a few moments ago with Terry, who did a great job, you heard him say something and really repeat something that I think is tremendously important, and so I'm going to highlight it again. Terry said, "We do what we do because of who we are. We do what we do because of who we are." And that is crucial for us to understand, because in the midst of a series where we're talking about environments wherein, I said that funny, but environments wherein spiritual formation takes place at Summit, it can all too easily feel like we are simply offering you a menu of boxes to tick. These are the things that if I'm actually a follower of Jesus, I need to do some version of this, and then God and I will be good. Just proof that I'm doing stuff. And we're going to talk this morning about specific ways that we want to invite you, everybody who calls Summit home, some specific environments wherein we want us together to grow up in Jesus Christ. We have to be intentional with that. But as we step into those environments, we do so because of who God in Jesus Christ has made us to be. And He's made us to be disciples who are ever growing more and more into the image of Jesus and tasked with this gracious responsibility to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with the world. And so we step into these environments. We participate in mutual spiritual formation, not so that we can just tick a box, not so that we can just, try to earn God's love in some form or fashion, but because we have been transformed as children of God and given the gift of the church. And it's in that context that we grow up in Christ, so that when the world sees us and hears us, they hear Jesus and see Jesus, imperfectly, but ever more so. So before we talk about some of the formation environments here at Summit, and you've got the sheet that hopefully maybe you sat on when you showed up, but we'll get to that here in just a little bit, and we'll talk through a few of the things there. But before we do that, we want to spend some time this morning acknowledging that we are formed into the image of Jesus Christ by the power of God as we behold the goodness and grace and beauty and majesty and power and glory of Jesus Christ. And if I could offer you a big idea this morning, it is simply this: take heart and behold our God. Take heart and behold our God. We're going to get into the words "take heart" here in just a bit. But first, I want to spend a little bit of time recapping where we've been in 2 Corinthians. We want to join the Apostle Paul's encouragement to the church in Corinth that we've already read about in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5, and consider how it is that as Paul is talking to this church and saying, "Hey, I want you to continue to grow up in Christ. You're in the midst of some really hard stuff. Keep growing together." As he does so, he invites them and invites us to behold and to be transformed as we behold our God. Now, just as a bit of a caveat here, said it last week, I'll say it again. It is typical for us here at Summit to teach verse by verse through books of the Bible. I always feel a little weird when we teach in this way because it's just not what is natural, right? I think it's necessary to have these family meetings at times. But we're kicking off 1 Timothy next Sunday. We'll be in it until we get to an Advent series, and we're just going to work verse by verse through all of that. So come back, work with us through 1 Timothy, and we'll go from there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this: "We were here last Sunday, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Beholding is not something that I'm very good at. Right? It's easy for me to treat the Lord the same way that, like on a day-to-day basis, the same way that I treat the 82 million activity pages that Marin and Isla bring home from school every day. Every day. How many trees? So many trees. Right? They want to show me. They're like, Daddy, look. And it's so easy to be distracted and give like 12% of my attention to them as I'm focused on something else and say, that's great, girls, but definitely not really captivated by what it is that I'm seeing there. But the other day, Bethany was, who's much better and much more observant than I am, was looking through the girl's backpack and Mare in particular in the papers, and she said, babe, you got to see this. And even though I had glanced at 1,000 of those pages, when Bethany forced me to stop and really look, I saw, and just buckle up because this is the most exciting thing in the whole wide world, I saw that my 6-year-old little girl was learning about parts of speech, nouns and verbs, and all of the things. And that may not be exciting to anyone in the room other than like Pam McCraw, who's downstairs. Jennifer, maybe Jennifer Rodriguez, who's somewhere, I don't know. Just a few people, but it like melted my soul. I was like, my girl. That night at bedtime, Marin is asked, she asks us, I'm raising such a sweet little nerd. She asked us, she said, would you give me some sentences and I'll tell you what the noun and the verb is. And as we prayed that night, this is not a joke. As we prayed that night, she said, she thanked God for the fun time learning about verbs. And then as I told her goodnight, said, peace be the journey. Kid you not. And I thought, if anybody needs proof that she is my child, like that is it. But here's the deal. If Bethany hadn't stopped me and made me look, stopped me from my distracted glancing, forced me to stop and behold, to see this thing that I, again, had given 6% of my attention to as the beautiful thing that it really is, I never would have seen it. And I don't know about you, but I'm really good at giving God glances. Really good. And so this morning, we're going to be a little more compact in the teaching time than we normally are, but we want to take just a few moments from 2 Corinthians and behold. Stop and really look. Briefly though it is, and we're going to see 3 truths about God that will ultimately lead us to take heart. And we're going to begin here. Behold our God, we just sang it, who is better than anything in the world. Behold our God who is better than anything in the world. And we're going to be jumping around a little bit in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5. So we just read verse 18 in chapter 3. I want you to listen here to verses 17 and 18 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Our growth, our formation, everything that we've talked about over the course of this series finds its source and strength in the Lord. Everything is about Him, right? His glory is the aim of our beholding. He is the apple of our eye, or is to be the apple of our eye. He is the satisfying affection for our hearts and attention for our minds. There is none like Him in all the earth. It's as if Paul, as he's writing here, echoes the words of David in Psalm 27:4, where he says, only one thing I want, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord all my days. And so as we think about being formed for mission, I would simply ask you this. Are you carving out time in the midst of your busy days to just behold the Lord? Are you creating time? Not creating time. Are you carving out time? We don't create time. We make time in our schedules to behold the beauty, the power, the majesty of God with others. We glance at Him all too often the way that I glance at the homework pages that my kids bring home. But would that our familiarity and easy dismissal of God in the busyness of life give way to beholding deepening adoration and joy-filled worship. And that would we be a people who are never bored by Him because there's nothing boring about Him. Like Paul, as he's writing to this church in Corinth, first and foremost is inviting them to lift their eyes and see the Lord for who He really is. The one who has redeemed them. The one who loves them in ways that no one and nothing else can. The one who promises to, as they behold Him, change them from one degree of glory into another. Behold our God, who is better than anything in the world. To truly behold Christ is to be transformed into the image of Christ, into the fullness of life that He offers. So we behold Him all the more, so that we might together taste and see His goodness and fully grasp this glorious truth that He actually is. Not just in theory, not just paying verbal acknowledgement to it, that He actually is better than anything in the world. Number two, behold our God, who is not just better than anything in the world. Behold our God who is sending us into the world. Verses 19 and 20 in chapter 5 follow up on what we just read there. All this is from God in verse 18, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our beholding of the glory and goodness and beauty and majesty and might of God that changes us was never intended to terminate on itself. It was always intended to be shared. It was always intended to pour out into the God-ordained spaces and relationships in our lives, wherever those might be. We are designed to be a people who are enamored with the God who would make His dwelling among us and accomplish for us what we were incapable of accomplishing for ourselves. Salvation. Eternal life. And God intended that our lives would be a living proclamation to others, imploring them to be reconciled to this one who spared no expense to show the incomparable riches of His grace toward us. So you, right where you are, the job that you work, the community that you live in, the neighbors that you have, the family that is yours, you are called to be a tangible, accessible reminder that God loves people. Proclaiming the truth that the world so desperately needs, the hope that they need, Jesus Christ is Lord. We are servants for his sake. Right? Paul tells us, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Our lives find their significance and purpose in him, and our delight is to share this with the world. Behold our God who is better than the world. Behold our God who is sending us into the world. And finally, behold our God who has overcome the world. If we turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed and so I spoke.' We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So God is sending us into the world that he created and the world that he loves to be his witnesses, his ambassadors, as Peter says, to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But it turns out, if you don't know this already, it will become increasingly clear. You may not be welcomed with that message with open arms. As a matter of fact, Jesus lets us know, he warns us, he's like, "Hey, they hated me. You're my ambassadors. They're going to hate you." We are being sent into this world that God created and loves, but we will not be loved for this message. The defining marks of hardship, persecution, burdens, and weighty accusations will come, and yet none of it will win the day, Paul reminds us. None of it will hold a candle to the weight of glory awaiting us as beloved sons and daughters of God. And this is where the notion, take heart, comes into play for us this morning. In John chapter 16, Jesus offers his disciples, he's about to be crucified and he knows it, and so he's offering them these reminders of truth and these words of encouragement shortly before he is arrested. And he knows that after he's gone, they're going to face a hard road. He knows that the world isn't going to love what it is that they have to say, but he offers them this beautiful promise of hope in John 16:33, where Jesus says, and I just invite you to listen, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." As we behold, as we are formed in our beholding into the image of Christ, we take heart because Jesus commands us to. Not dismissively saying we shouldn't worry about anything, but reminding us that through his death and resurrection, our hope and future are secure with him. So this morning, as we, in just a moment, get into environments for spiritual formation, ways at Summit that we want to together intentionally grow up in Christ, Remember that we are a people being formed for mission. We are a people who are becoming what we behold, and the command of Jesus is to take heart. And it's with that in mind that I want you to turn your attention to the screen for one more video. Kyle Estep, who's another one of our pastors and elders, is going to share some practical ways that we want to be formed as disciple-making disciples here at Summit. Some of these are going to be familiar to you. Some of them are going to be new. And we're going to talk about a couple of those as we conclude. But turn your attention to the screen, and then we'll come back together here in just a moment.
Hey Summit, good morning. I hope your heart is encouraged already. I just wanted to step in at this moment and try to tie in some of the pieces you've already heard with some of the things you're going to continue to hear throughout this fall. And my heart, my hope is that you will see and understand what we long for here is that we would become a people who continue to behold the glory and beauty of God together. Yes, we will be formed individually in that reality, but collectively we could share in beholding God together, growing and maturing in the image of Christ and His likeness, and being formed for the mission that He is accomplishing, that we are invited to actively participate with Him in. And so that's the invitation. And some of the environments that you're going to hear us talking about will be familiar, and some of them will be new. Sunday morning gatherings, that's familiar. We love it. We love celebrating God's goodness and His faithfulness, and we invite you to commit to those with us and be a part of that gathering with us as we worship Him and celebrate Him together and are formed by our worship and our hearing of the Word and our encouragement to one another. Love the times we have to gather together. That's one of the environments that we get to participate in regularly. Men and women of Summit connecting at each congregation and then all of the congregations. And some of those already happen, but more happening this fall at each place. And then looking for opportunities to bring the men together and the women together to really find mutual encouragement with one another throughout the year. And you'll be hearing more about that as well. Life groups, we've been spending time all year on life groups, really trying to remission them around intimacy and community and mission, growing and maturing in Christ in the context of really meaningful relationships over time so that we can continue to live and do life and share life together, but for the sake of those who do not know Jesus Christ, continuing to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And there's a lot of opportunities for you to get connected in life groups right now. So you can sign up for those now through next weekend. They'll be kicking off September 10th. We'd love to have you in community with us in the life group environments that'll be available this fall. In the past, things like classes and Bible studies and gospel roundtables, those are all now under an umbrella we're going to call core classes. Opportunities for us to come alongside you to think biblically, practically, and theologically about how to live skillfully in this world with wisdom and discernment, to think about theological things and cultural and practical things, but to do that biblically and to grow in wisdom and discernment as we live in the culture and the world where God has sovereignly placed us. And we really look forward to that. Have one coming even this fall and more to come. Really looking forward to being a part of those with you as well. We have environments for our kids, environments for our students, all of the ways in which they are continuing, the leaders of those ministries and the volunteers, trying to grow our intentionality with our students and with our children so that they too can grow up in the beauty of the gospel, be formed in relationships, and continue to live where God has them confidently. We're excited about some of the things coming along in the pipeline for kids ministry and student ministry, and hope your hearts will be encouraged by that as well. And then just two new environments where we are encouraged and hopeful that it'll meet you where you are, and for some of you, help you maybe take next steps in your journey with Jesus Christ. Formation groups will be smaller groups, 4 to 6 people, men discipling men, women discipling women. We look forward to rolling those out slowly over the next 3 to 6 months, really getting those moving with an intentional purpose that we would get those groups together and we collectively would see growth in the outcomes of the value values we hold dear here, that we would see growth in enjoying God as we pursue Him. We would see growth by growing in the fruit of the Spirit, engaging our spirit giftedness, stewarding our lives for God's glory and His purposes, and then proclaiming the gospel by inviting people into our stories of grace. We want to grow in those things together. Look forward to inviting you into some new opportunities to experience that here at Summit. And then last but not least, Summit Equip will be something coming next fall. And it's in partnership with the things we've been learning over the last 2 years with Upstate Church Collective, being now able to bring discipleship training and opportunities to you at each of our locations and congregations, and being able to think, what does it look like to be a disciple who makes disciples? And we really want to see all of Christ's people at Summit go through this over time. And so you'll be hearing more about that as it unfolds in the near future, but really excited about all of these environments. Here's what I don't want you to hear me say, or any of us say today. This is not just a list of things you have to do. This is not just us saying, hey, do this and do that, and this is all the things we need from you. This is us inviting you to join the people in the place where you already come and cultivate relationships and have been formed and will continue to be formed. We're going to get in this together. In all of these environments you hear is not a menu to choose from. It's the water we swim in. It's the language we're learning together. It's the environments we're living in together, so that all of us together are growing and maturing in Christ Jesus. We're being formed for His mission. And we are beholding the glory and the beauty of God together, and then inviting others to do the same. That's going to be our invitation, to take all of these things and just live in them together over the next several years. They're not going to be paced out super quickly. They're going to be slowly and intentionally paced out so that you can consider where you are in life and what would be an important next step for you. And there will be other environments, other opportunities for college students and young singles, and opportunities for those who want to get specific areas of their life and see growth there, like Fight for Freedom at Cherrydale. And there will be other opportunities for you to be formed, popping up around. All of that's not menu. All of that is invitation to grow together, to be formed for mission together, and to behold the beauty of God together. That's our hope. That's our encouragement. And we hope it's a blessing to you as well as we continue to unveil, unpack, unfold all of those opportunities in the coming weeks and months, and even over the next year. And we want you to be a part of that with us. And we're excited to see what God does with all of that. You're a blessing to us. And we hope the rest of this morning is a constant and continual encouragement that God's up to something in our midst, and we want to join Him there. Come with us.
So in the back of the pew in front of you, or on this, I'm sorry, on the seat where you were sitting, it was going to be in the back of the pew, and then we put it on the seat. So I wrote that before we did it. We have this document. And the front is a recap a little bit of where we've been in this series and some things that are just important, some important language about who we are at Summit, right? Our mission statement, our three core convictions, our distinctives, values, and outcomes. And we've talked through a fair bit of that over the course of this series. We're going to continue to talk through a fair bit of that because that's what we do. But on the back side is where I really want to spend just the last couple of minutes of our time together this morning. And this is where we've been today, right? This is the how. If this is what we're running after, being maturing disciples who are growing up in Christ together for the sake of the mission of God, how do we want to do that here? Because as much as we don't ever want to be exclusively programmatic, we also don't want to be haphazard or not be intentional about the ways that we invite you to grow up in Christ. And so this document captures much of what Kyle shared. I'd invite you to take some time and look at it. It has some general dates of when things are going to be kicking off and whatnot. And we'll touch on these things in the coming weeks and months, and you'll get specific dates for us here in Spartanburg about when things are going to kick off, because we'll have a local Bible study here this fall. We'll have a few other things that are going on. But I want to briefly highlight two items that you see here as we close. And the first that I want to address is the category of men and women of Summit. There is biblical merit to both environments, right? Where men and women together are studying the scripture and building relationships like we do here, like we've done in Bible studies, and also as we form bonds and spend time getting to know one another, growing up in Christ as men and as women. And historically here at Summit, that has happened most frequently in the context of life groups, right? So we've been inviting you to get connected to life groups, and what will happen a lot of times is that over the course of a life group gathering or a couple of times a month, the guys will break off and they'll spend some time discussing some things together, praying together, and we want that to continue to happen. But we also want to continue to provide increased opportunities for that to happen outside of life group. And I will confess to you what you already know. Our ladies have done a much better job of this than our guys have. And that falls on me. Our ladies have done, they've done a wonderful job of spending time together and getting to know one another and providing opportunities and avenues to engage one another. And fellas, I want us to be better. So this fall, we want to provide continued opportunities for our men and women to spend intentional time together, right? That's not to the detriment of these other environments where men and women are together, but both for the sake of fostering deeper relationships and in the context of those relationships, pursuing Jesus together. And so we'll be sharing those dates with you in the near future, but that's something that we are very much committed to and focusing on here. And then that leads me to the second item that I wanted to highlight, and that is formation groups. Kyle acknowledged that it was a new kind of environment for us here. Maybe it's not a new concept for you, but the formal practice of these are new at Summit. We want to provide an environment where smaller groups of men can disciple men and smaller groups where women can disciple women. And we're going to formally be rolling these out in early 2024. But I wanted to highlight these things because all of this, as he said, may feel like it's just a bunch of new stuff to do. You guys are becoming programmatic. But I want to remind us that these are environments where we believe spiritual formation can take place at Summit, because what we do, as we said, is born out of who we are, and we believe that these increased opportunities provide us a better opportunity to meet people where they are with the invitation to grow up in Jesus Christ together. The ask is not that you be involved in all of these things. It's that you participate in the life of this body in mutual spiritual formation, intentionally tethered to other believers somewhere within the framework of these environments. It might look like participating in more than one for you. Maybe you're in a life group and you're connected to a formation group. Maybe you're in a life group and you're like, I want to go ahead and be a part of Summit Equip, right, as it gets rolling, or whatever it might be. But it might also look like you in this season really drilling down in one of these things, because that's ultimately where it's clear formation needs to happen for you here, now. And we want to just continue to grow in our partnership with you and our offering of environments to you, where based on where you are, we can together grow up in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.